This morning's scripture reading will be 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come.
I heard a story once. It was told as the truth. I never could verify it, but I loved it. Seemed the story went that when the Chevrolet was getting rid of the molds and the plans for the 57 Chevy, and they started re-gearing up to make the 58 Chevy, that instead of making scrap out of all that stuff, somebody bought all of it. And they took it to Mexico. That's where the story gets kind of sketchy. The idea is that if someone wanted to, they could make a 57 Chevy today. Wouldn't be a replica. It wouldn't be a restoration. It would be a 57 Chevy made just like the first one was made, because it would be like the first one was made. I counted the story as just an urban legend. Until several years ago, I was down in Monterrey, Mexico, and there were old Volkswagen bugs everywhere. Taxi cabs. They were like the ones from the 60s. I said, where did they get all of these? And the driver told me they make them here. And I said, what do you mean they make them? They quit making these years ago. And he said, not here they didn't. So maybe it would be possible for someone to make a new 57 Chevy. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. What he's promising is impossible, to make all things new. And yet we believe it. We believe it and we hang on to it, and we would give up even our life for this great truth, that the one who sits upon the throne said that he makes all things new. We believe it because it needs to be true. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most to be pitied. Even eternal life, if it's this life without new life, is a cruel joke. Do you really want to live forever like you're living now? Do you really want to live forever in a place like we live now, where we kill our own babies before they take their first breath, and we kill other babies after they're born, and we throw away grandpa, and we really don't care? Is this the world you want to spend forever in? There must be, there needs to be, a new heaven and a new earth. And I need a new life. We believe because we need this new life, this new body, this new world. We need all things to be made new, because we've pretty well wrecked the one that we have. We need it. But we also believe because this impossible promise because of who made it. The one who is seated upon the throne made this promise. When Jesus told a lame man his sins were forgiven, the Pharisees had it right. They said, who can forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. And then to prove who he was, he told the lame man to get up and walk home, and he did. It's because of who makes the promise that we believe it. When John worried about whether Jesus was really the Messiah, in chapter 11 of Matthew, he sends his disciples to Jesus, and they were told to go back and report what they saw. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. This is the one who made the promise, the one who sits upon the throne. Are you the one? Of course he was. Some people even said, if this is not the Messiah, what could the Messiah do that this man does not do? In John chapter 6, when people began to abandon Jesus and go their way, Jesus asked the disciples, are you going to forsake me too? And Peter said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we know that you're the Holy One from God. We believe this promise because we need to. We believe this promise because of who made it. We believe this promise because long, long ago, David said in the 23rd Psalm, he restores my soul, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said in John chapter 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So the woman with the hemorrhage that wouldn't stop bleeding, she came to Jesus broken, and with brokenness that no one could fix, and Jesus fixed her. When Jesus came to Bethany, Martha came out to him and told him her brother was dead and there was nowhere else she could go. And Jesus asked her, that he told her that he was the resurrection and the life, and said, do you believe this? And she said, I believe you are the Son of God. The blind man comes to Jesus with a condition that no one ever even heard of anyone born blind could see, and Jesus healed him of his blindness. The promise is real because Jesus is real. The promise is real because it's made by the one who sits upon the throne. There is nothing impossible to him. With us, everything's impossible. Camels can't go through eyes of needles. Rich people can't go to heaven. Why, no one can go to heaven. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He came to give us a new life because he is life. He came to show you the way to heaven because he is the way to heaven. He came to tell you the truth because he is truth. He came to give you a new body because he made your body. He made man in his image, and he knows exactly what we should look like. When John was asked, what will we look like in glory? He said, what kind of body will we have? And John said, I don't know, but it'll be like his, because he's in charge of those things. Paul joins this by saying in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 that he put on a new self and created after the likeness of God. He also said in Romans chapter 6 verse 4, he says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We believe this promise, this astonishing, impossible promise that he can make all things new, because we need to. It is our number one need. We need to start over. We need to start over fresh. Even forgiveness wouldn't be a really good thing if there wasn't newness attached to it. Eternal life isn't a good thing if newness of life is not attached to it. Being with God is not a good thing if we come like we are. We need this newness. We need this resurrection. We need this rising to walk in newness of life. We need this rebirth. We believe it's true because we need it to be true. And we believe it's true because of who told us. It is God. When John said, when asked John, who was he? He said, we beheld his glory. Glory is the only Son of God. We know who you are. And Peter would say, where would we go? You're the only one that talks about eternal life. You're the only one that can do this. When the enemies said, you can't do this, only God can do it. And so he does it to show them who he is. We believe it's true because of who made the promise. And we believe it's true. We believe it's true because only God could do what needs to be done with us. We sing those wonderful songs. Some of the new songs we sing are, you can't sing them without crying, and that's a good thing. What can be done with an old heart like mine? David, a long time ago, said, I need a new one. What can God do with it? He can make it new. What can be done with your life? Aren't you glad we don't have the ability to put your life right up here? Just last week's life up here. What you looked at, what you thought about, what you did, what you fantasized about, the schemes you made, the lies you told. We need a new life. We need it now. I'm glad we're going to have it someday, but we need it now. And that's what he promises us. Not just it's forgiven. Not just like they would say it's expunged from your record. It doesn't exist anymore. God says he not only remembers them no more, we become a different person. The man who had the legion of demons, when Jesus got through with him, he was in his right mind, dressed, resting, and ready to do good things instead of bad things. And he was told, take this new life of yours and go tell others what God has done for you. And what happened around Decapolis was a revival. It was like with the woman at the well, they said they didn't believe. Well, at first they believed because she said it, but then they believed because they saw him. But at Decapolis, when this man who used to be legion is now a Christian, when they saw him, what did they know? Something has happened. You know it's true because you've seen it. Maybe it hasn't happened to you, but you know at least one Christian that is a new person. You know at least one Christian who has died and been born again. You know at least one Christian who used to be one way and now is another way. You know at least one, don't you? You know it's true, and you know you need it, and you know who promised it. So what would we be waiting for? Are we like Pharaoh when he had frogs knee-deep all over the country? When he couldn't eat without having a frog in his bowl? When he couldn't sit down without sitting on a frog? That's what it describes. When he couldn't walk without stepping on, when he pulled the cover back on his bed, there was a frog. And he calls Moses in and he says, do something with these frogs. Get rid of them. And Moses says, when? And he said, tomorrow. When I was a boy, that was a popular sermon. They called it One More Night with the Frogs. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you stay in this old life one more minute? Why? You know you need it. You need the new life. You know who promised it can do it. You know how wonderful it is. You know how great the opportunity is, and you know it's available. So why wait? There is no reason. Newness of life. Behold, I make all things new. No one could say that but God. And the good news is, he did say that. And he invites us He invites us to newness. He invites us to new life. He invites us to be whole. Won't you come while we stand and sing?